You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Welcome to a Tuesday. If it's right before Thanksgiving, do we call it Taco Tuesday? I mean, what do we
know,
do with
but
this?
I mean, most people are going to be out for the rest of, I mean, a lot of people are, not most, but
Thanksgiving.
But I just told you a second ago, it felt like Wednesday.
It does feel like Wednesday. Like,
it feels like a Wednesday. So, is it the rain?
So can we just, all right, let's me and you make a plan here.
All right.
Are we going to call this Camel Day because some folks are off on Thursday anyway?
Ooh. You know what? I remember this from last year.
Did we do this last year?
We talked about this last year.
What did we do?
And there was a riot because people said, do not play the camel.
Oh, wait. Did they really?
I could be wrong.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
All right. Here's what we're going
to
do.
But we may have to ask.
We haven't even started the show yet. We're already soliciting the audience. So here's the deal. All y'all, the text lines are 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So we just kicked it off. I hadn't even bothered to say greetings to Boomer yet. I haven't told you about the Triple Dipper, but I'm going to tell you. I'm of the mind we might have to play the camel. And so I want to know, and we're going to take a quick poll. It doesn't matter whether we have three people texted in or 900 people texted in. Should we play the camel right now or should we not? Because we are like, you know, holiday week, all that
holiday
kind of
week.
Stuff.
Holiday
so,
week.
So text it. We'll call it. We'll call it in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, at the bottom of the hour.
I like that.
At the bottom of the hour break, we'll count whatever came in, 833-68-RIGHT. Should we or should we not play the camel on a Tuesday? I need to know what the audience thinks. That being said, hey, Boomer.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Good, good. We got an awesome show laid on. By the way, John Rogers, a longtime friend of mine, he's now a pollster and an analyst at a national level up in Washington, D.C. with Signal Analytics. He's been on the show several times. He's going to come in and break down some of the latest numbers because, y'all, we are, believe it or not, we are only, 60 days away from the Iowa caucuses. We're only about, 90 to 120 days or whatever away from the actual Alabama primary. We've got less than a year to the general election. So let's see what the numbers say. We'll do that with John Rogers. He's calling in actually at 2:30, so that won't be at 3 o'clock. That'll be at 2:30, a little bit earlier than usual for a guest call. And then I got the Triple Dipper, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So, yeah, right out the gate, in conjunction with our conversation with John Rogers, calling it Reading the Tea Leaves. He's going to be giving us the prognostications and what the numbers mean so far, and if the election were tomorrow, what would it mean? Reading the Tea Leaves is number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, you know the deal. Hey, we got to stay in tune. Got to stay in tune with what's happening in your backyard. So we're gonna cook up a batch of home fries as number two on the Triple Dipper as we look at news in and around our own area right here in Alabama. And then number three, I mean, if we do the camel, I'm getting all the sound effects today. So that's the other
You're
thing.
You're going to get all of them.
But if we head on down to number three, I got some good stuff, man. I've even got an update on that gender non-binary, trans queer, fake Native American who had the Indigenous Art Collective in Washington State or wherever she was, Wisconsin. Adventures in Woke World is set for number three on the Triple Dipper. Stand by for that one. So, wow, that's a lot of stuff. And the text messages are coming in. So, anyway, bottom line is it's going to be a great show. Great show. What do you got your finger on the sound effects for over there?
Oh, not sound effects. Just camera.
Okay.
I'm switching it.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen, let me move over here to my my opening comments. I feel like we're all out of sync like right now. This is like a wacky day. So just a reminder, you guys, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is an incredible chain of clinics in and around our area. They do great work Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week at all their locations. You can find one on the online nearest to you, and they see all ages. And this is, by the way, this is who I use personally, and I mean that, have for quite some time. Southern Immediate Care, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and we certainly appreciate it. All right, let me ask you. Have you ever been around somebody who tried to sound knowledgeable about something, and it was so obvious they had no clue what they were talking about, like, at all, like, to the point of being silly, like, to the point you're being embarrassed for them as they say things that they obviously know nothing about, like when liberals talk about guns. Listen, when liberals talk about guns, it is unbelievable, but liberals are also so predictable, so predictable. One of the few absolutes in life is the predictable outcome of any shooting incident when liberals bellow that gun control is what is needed. The Second Amendment is outdated, or in President Biden's words, it's not absolute, and that it was the gun that caused the crisis and not the criminal. Meanwhile, the inference is that all of us who are gun owners are somehow complicit in the crime that occurred if, in fact, we believe in the right to bear arms. Now, by that same rationale, though, I suppose that all car owners would be complicit if a drunk driver causes an accident somewhere. Or maybe all knife owners are complicit if a knife is used in a crime. Or, here's my favorite, the game of baseball should be banned, and all baseball players, young and old, should be held accountable if a baseball bat was ever found its way into a crime scene. I mean, those would be ridiculous arguments based on fallacious reasoning by simple minds who cannot grasp that accountability and punishment for bad actors should be confined to the level of criminal culpability of the accused themselves, not to society as a whole. In short, gun control is a lazy man's argument in the aftermath of a shooting strategy. But I will say this, some of the gun control proponents do provide some comedy relief. I mean, when is the gun control lobby going to start giving lessons to its members on how to talk about guns, or for that matter, not to talk about them? I mean, do you know why I don't spend time on this show trying to talk about the geosynchronous orbit of satellites? Because I'm not a rocket scientist. I don't try to tell a physician what doses to prescribe, because I have no clue and I know it. So why then do liberals continue to provide us with comic relief by talking about guns with such fervor when it's painfully obvious they have no idea what they're talking about? Now, I don't have a good answer for that very good question, but I do have some great examples, like some awesome examples, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, God rest her soul, who once said, quote, "We have federal regulations and state laws that prohibit hunting ducks with more than 3 rounds, and yet it's legal to hunt humans with 15 rounds, 30 rounds, and even 150-round magazines." Okay, first of all, I don't know where it's actually legal to hunt humans, but I also question the veracity of her arguments on the use of 150-round magazines. By the way, she's also the person who said the Clinton-era assault weapons ban didn't go far enough. Or how about then-Vice President Joe Biden, who believed so strongly in deterrence by means of a shotgun? He said just a few years back, he said this, quote, "Well, you know my shotgun will do better for you than your AR-15, because you want to keep somebody away from your house? Just fire that shotgun through the door." He went on to say that rifles can blast through walls and hurt someone in the next room. Well, you know what? So can intruders who get in the house. I'm thinking Shotgun Joe has never loaded the 12-gauge with double-aught buck or slugs, for that matter. And then there was Representative Diane DeGette, Democrat from Colorado. She had a humdinger. Try to follow this one. She said, you ready? Quote, "If you ban them in the future, the number of these high-capacity magazines is going to decrease dramatically over time because the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available." So I don't even know what that means. I guess what she's trying to say is that if we reduce the number of magazines, that there will be fewer bullets? I don't know. But what I do know is that where she's from, they have recreational marijuana. So there's that. Now, perhaps my favorite of all comes from a Democrat New York Assemblywoman, Patricia Eddington, who was apparently under the impression that we now have miniature heat-seeking missiles being fired at deer. She said, here's her quote, quote, "Some of these bullets, as you saw, have an incendiary device on the tip of it, which is a heat-seeking device. So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time." So, no need to field dress that buck. Just shoot it with a heat-seeking bullet and just serve it up hot. Look, in the end, I could spend my entire 3-hour show today giving you constantly streaming examples of liberals pretending they know something about firearms, but they don't. And they embarrass themselves when they pretend otherwise. But that's, you know, really not their aim, is it? The bottom line is, in the gun control debate, and I may not be a rocket scientist, and I may not be a surgeon, or even a rocket surgeon, but even still, the various aspects of those professions and what they can do regulated out of existence as politicians wanted to go down that road is possible. But the right to possess firearms, it's actually protected under the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It's a distinction that makes the various attempts to exert control of the ownership and the use of the firearms even far more nefarious and egregious. It's like saying, I believe in God, but I don't believe that all the Bible's accurate. I believe in everything but Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay. Well, when you choose to selectively apply a scripture, then guess what? All of it comes into question. Likewise, when you choose to selectively abridge just one constitutional right, just one of our basic liberties, then you have, in effect, called all of them into question. So rights are either inviolable or they are not, period. Congressman Chip Roy said it pretty well not long ago in a hearing about gun control legislation. He said, quote, Democrats' push for stricter gun control laws is actually about their war against traditional American culture. It's not about protecting citizens from gun violence. So the fact here, Representative Roy said, the fact here is that this is really about the left's culture war against gun owning and supporting America. That's what it's about. He concluded those comments, by the way, in the face of a bill that would have applied some great knee-jerk reactions to gun ownership by saying, quote, in order to tell the American people a lie that the government will protect them, half of this committee is willing to take away a citizen's God-given right to protect himself or herself from harm, and importantly, from the very tyranny being applied to them that deny that right. Well, there you have it. These arguments, often inane and ridiculous in their hyperbole, they clearly show that in a rush to speak and to act and to legislate without even understanding the facts, or for that matter, the capabilities of various firearms, that the gun control mob doesn't really care about firearms. If they did, they would at the very least present a cogent and a factual statement to rely on. But no, instead what they're really intent on is creating control. It's about the weakening of liberties embedded in the Constitution. It's about more political firepower for themselves. And they don't care how they get there. Even if it takes a 150-round magazine of shotgun shells and, yeah, live free or die. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. It's comedy, y'all. It's comedy. When you see some of the things they say and you realize they have no idea what they're talking about, and it's so painfully obvious. If you have a modest amount of firearm knowledge, you can listen to what they say and go, well, that makes no sense. But they say it anyway. They stand up in front of the cameras thinking they know something, and it's just painfully obvious that they're like, you know, trying to pretend they're a rocket surgeon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.